Do you want to experience more of God's presence? Do you want to experience more of God's reality? Most of the time we go to God and say, God, give me more of you. And God's answer, according to 1 John, is give somebody else more of you and you'll experience more of me.
Well, greetings again, friends, and we're here discussing horizontal Jesus, how our connection with others affects our connection with God. Today, we're going to talk about love one another. That's a key one because that's the one that Jesus said will be the testament and the testimony to the uniqueness of our Christian faith. What does it mean to love? We use that word all the time, sometimes seriously, sometimes flippantly, but do we really know what it means and how it's supposed to work? Well, I think you will after today's message. So let's get right to the message today and discover what love one another is really all about.
A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, the word love has fallen on hard times. It can be used for any or everything. I love chocolate cake. I love ice cream. You know, I love that television show. It's kind of a catch-all word today. Love can show up when you feel you're getting something out of it, or when you want something from it. But I want to now give you a biblical definition of love. I want you to throw out everything that you've ever been taught about what love is. We'll talk about this more in a moment. Because whatever love is, it's commandable. Because he says a new commandment I give you. So guess what love is not? Love is not equal to liking. Love is not the same as liking. Let me go so far as to say, you can love things or people you don't like. And I see somebody saying, I know that's right. Because the truth be told, you don't like a lot of folk. You may not like your children. You may not like your mate. You may not like your boss. In other words, there is no emotional connection there. Now, it's always better if you like the one you love. But whatever love is, it's commandable. He makes a commandment to love. So biblical love is the decision, whether or not it's accompanied by an emotion. Biblical love is the decision to compassionately and righteously seek the well-being of another. Biblical love is the decision, because it can be commanded, to compassionately and righteously seek the well-being of another. Which is why God can tell you to love your enemies. He doesn't tell you to like your enemies. He tells you to love your enemies. To compassionately and righteously seek the well-being of another. Jesus says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. By this shall all men know that you're for real. He calls this, in verse 34, he calls this a new commandment. We've already discovered it can be commanded. He can tell you to do it, which means you can decide to do it or not do it. It's a decision. He says, a new commandment I give you. Now, what's so new about that? I mean, what's so new about loving? I mean, that's as old as the Old Testament. It's been around for a while. He's not talking about new in the sense that it didn't exist. He's talking about new in its effect. So when Jesus says, a new commandment I'm giving you. Now, the reason why this is no small thing, stay with me here. The reason why this is not a minor issue is he says the effect of this commandment will be the major way I get advertised. My Father is going to advertise me. I'm going to advertise my Father, and you are supposed to advertise me. You have just been invited into the ad agency of the Trinity. And it will be based on what happens in the family of faith, one another. He's talking about other believers. And in that family, you will create an ad agency that will be potent and powerful and attractive. Have you ever thought that one of the reasons God may have put irregular people in your life? Anybody have any irregular people? Not regular, irregular. Is to teach you how to love. Because anybody can love the lovely. But God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. He demonstrated his love when we were unlovable, irregular. Not somebody to fool with. And he ain't talk it. He crossed it. He demonstrated it. The main reason that God asked every believer to become a functional part of the local church. A functional part of the local church. Not a visiting part. See, a lot of reasons why folk will visit for years. One of the reasons a lot of folks will visit for years is so that you cannot formally expect anything from them. So what they want is to be fed, but not to be expected to contribute. And so they become professional visitors. For years. But they always want a good meal. He says, by this shall all men know you're my disciples. They will know that you are serious about me. And it's not so much what you do for them. It's what they see you do for each other. God wants their to be something happening in the family of God, so dynamic, so real, so rich. Not because everybody likes everybody, not because everybody knows everybody, but there's a love fest. But love is beyond emotion. Love is compassionate and righteously seeking the well-being of another. And he says, this is a commandment, not a request. Turn your Bible to 1 John, where John does an exposition of Jesus' upper room statement on love. And here it is. You're going to run into a principle here that is life-changing. Because the question on the floor is, why should I do it? Other than the fact I'm told to. Because you're told to. These are the new commandment I give you. So he's not asking you to love. He's telling you to love. That's because he's not asking you to feel about it. He's telling you to do it. To compassionately and righteously seeking the well-being of others. Okay? Outside of yourself. He wants you to be outside of yourself. Why should you do this? Now, time will only allow us to summarize this because he goes crazy with this subject throughout the book. You need to read the book of 1 John because he's going to talk about love almost in every chapter. Because it's an exposition on the upper room meeting he had with Jesus before Jesus died. Chapter 2. In chapter 2, verse 9, the one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause of stumbling in him. Let me just start there. If you are not a loving saint, not a liking saint, and I'm talking about your feelings right now, I'm talking about your decisions. If you are not invested in the life of God's family to some meaningful degree, you can't love everybody. Too many folk like that, too many people like that, but you're not excused from loving nobody. That's why you got to be connected. He says, if there is no love, there is no light. Okay? Watch this now. In fact, if you are not invested in this love thing, you are walking in darkness. Notice what he says in chapter 3. We know love by this, verse 16 says, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Okay? He laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, I know that can mess you up. Because I can only die once. No, I can only die once. What does it mean I'm supposed to lay down my life? How many folk am I supposed to die for? I can only die once. No, read the next verse. He tells you. But whosoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? So what he is talking about is not you physically dying a day after day. He's talking about you facilitating the well-being of another. You've come alongside some brother in some tangible way who has a legitimate need, and you, because you have the capacity to meet the need, you meet the need. So he's talking about sharing that which is life with someone else. Sharing that which enhances life, develops life, encourages life. And he asked the question, if that's not who you are, how does the love of God abide in you? Now, so watch this now. The love you give horizontally is the love you can expect vertically. Do you want more of God's love? Do you want to experience more of God's presence? Do you want to experience more of God's reality? Most of the time we go to God and say, God, give me more of you. And God's answer, according to 1 John, is give somebody else more of you and you'll experience more of me. Remember, give and it will be given to you. Give somebody else some of you and you will experience more of me. Now watch this. What he wants you to know. Verse 18, little children, same words Jesus used. Let us not love with word and tongue. We ain't talking about rapping. But in deed and truth. So, love always involves truth. It involves action, deed, but it involves truth. That's why we defined it as compassionately, because that's helping somebody, and righteously, based on a standard of truth. You're seeking the well-being of another. From verse 7 on, he goes crazy with love. Love, 7 on, that's the love train. Brethren, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. That means experiences the knowledge of God. The one who does not love does not know God. You're not experiencing God. So here it is. If you are only here for you, your experience of God will be limited. You don't need the church to be fed the word. You can be fed the word at home at Bedside Baptist and Mattress Methodist. You can be fed the word by listening to a CD, by turning on your television. You can be fed the word by reading a book. You don't need to come to church to learn the word. The reason why God wants you in the family is to be in a context where you can practice love. But it's more to this. Look at what he says in chapter 4. He says, verse 10, in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now, God loved us sacrificially when we weren't looking for him. He tells you in verse 8 why this is critical. Because he says God is love. Love is an attribute of God by which he defines himself. He is love. So when you are loving, based on the biblical definition, you are connected to God in a way like none other. Because that's what he is. Since that's what he is, if you're doing what he is, then you're connected to him in the doing what he is. Because if you're doing what he is, then he is involved in what you're doing, because what you're doing is in fact what he is. He is love. So he is love. So when you are loving like he loved when he died on the cross, even for sinners, when you are doing that, you are being like him in a way like no other. So you are allowing God to be himself. Because that's what he is. And then he says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God's abide in him, and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. Who abides in love abides in God. Okay, so watch this now. I don't know about you, but this ought to make you want to go crazy loving. Because he says, if you hang out in love, if you roll like that, because God is love, he says, when you abide in love, you are actually hanging out in God. So how much of God do you want? Because that will affect how much love you're involved with. And God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us so that we may have, watch this, confidence in the day of judgment. Ooh. There are not too many people in this room who have messed up. Now, I know you, maybe two. But there's not too many people in this room who haven't messed up over and over and over and over. And you promised God you weren't going to do it again. And you promised God you weren't going to say it again. You promised God you weren't going to funk it again. You just promised God over and over, and you just messed up. Okay, you just messed up. So when you stand before God in the judgment, it's called the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to stand and there is going to be a tape. The Bible says the tape will reveal everything you said, everything you've done. There will be a, this is your life. Not too exciting. The Bible says everything that was done hidden will be made manifest at the judgment seat of Christ. You know what you need to do? You need to edit your tape. When you stand before God, he's going to have the whole tape, good, bad, and ugly. Now, you can't go out and say, well, let me just go mess up and then just mess up, mess up, mess up, mess up, and then come back and do a highlight tape. Because God's not a fool. But at the same time, he's going to give you, shall we call it, extra credit for a love highlight tape. In fact, he goes on to say in verse 18, there is no fear in love, for love casts out fear. God's going to take care of you emotionally. Are you an emotional basket case? He says you got a love problem. Because he says, if you're living in fear, that means you're not living in love. Because when there's enough love, love casts out fear. So if you're living in fear and emotional turmoil, it's because you're refusing to love outside of yourself. You want to be loved, but you're not loving outside of yourself. So your emotional turmoil is dominating you. Because perfect love casts out fear. So it brings emotional stability. Verse 21, but if our hearts does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing to him. That comes right after talking about love in verse 18. He says, now you'll get more prayers answered. Could it be that your prayers aren't being answered because your love is not being shared? You're only asking God for what you want. You're not being a minister to what others can benefit from you from legitimately. Your prayers getting answered. Love gets prayers answered. And you can come to me, he says, with confidence, knowing you will receive from him. So there's benefit to this thing. It's not just a commandment with no benefits. I'll never forget it. My elementary school is located 3 blocks from where I was raised. I was in the 5th or 6th grade in the old school before it got rebuilt. And they had the radiators in the room. You remember the radiators. So hot water would come up through the radiators to heat the room in my old school. I had developed a little relationship with the janitor at Alexander Hamilton Elementary School. And one day he let me go down to the boiler room. And I went with the janitor to the boiler room at Alexander Hamilton Elementary School. And he was just showing me around. And in the middle of the boiler room was the big boiler, the tank that held all the water. that would be sent up to the radiators to heat the room. This big tank. On the side of the big tank was a little tube. Just a little thin tube on the side of the tank with some water in the tube. He says, this tank holds gallons and gallons and gallons and gallons of water. But we can't go into the tank. It's too hot. But we need to know what the level of the water is in the tank. But we can't open the tank to see what the level of the water is in the tank. It's too hot. So we look at the tube. The tube is small, but it's accurate. And the tube tells us how much water is in the tank. By looking at the water level in the tube, we know the water level in the tank. I can't see how much God is in you. And you can't see how much God is in me. Because that's private territory. Jesus in my heart. God in my life. That's my private territory. You can't rip my chest open, rip my soul open, and see how much God is operating in me. But there is a tube. And that tube is the indicator to let you know on the outside how much God I got working on the inside. And that tube is my love. If I can't love you, care about you, pray for you, walk with you, and you do the same for me, that tube is telling you I don't have as much God as I talk about. I don't have as much God as I wave my hand about. I don't have as much God as I praise about. I don't have as much God as I sing about. I'm a lot of noise, because if the tube is empty, the life is empty.
Well, I hope that you're now ready to get your love on, because we want to experience more of God's love for us as we express that same love to others. And you can understand this principle along with many of the other principles of the one another's of Scripture and how they work and why they matter and why they're critical with our new book, Horizontal Jesus. Call and get your copy for a gift of any amount to the ministry of the Urban Alternative. You'll help us to keep ministering to you in an effective way. And we want to do that. So contact us at 1-800-800-3222 or log on to TonyEvans.org. and get your copy of this book. We also have a Bible study that can go with it. We also have a whole lot of other resources that can minister to you and your loved ones. God bless you. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for supporting us. We can't wait to be with you again next week.